Good evening. It's June 28th, 2016. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Bob Lederer, and our Secretary Pro Tem, actually, she's now our Secretary, Nancy Saibara Naratomi. Can you please call the roll?
Okay. From KPFA, Sharon Adams. Sharon Adams, I've been on here. Anthony Fisk.
Here.
Anthony, present. Margie Wilkinson. Margie, I cannot hear you. Grace Aaron from KPFK. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace, present. Fred Blair.
I'm here.
Fred, present. Charles Frederick. Charles Frederick. I cannot hear you. Jan Goodman. Jan Goodman, I do not hear you. From WBAI, Bob Lederer.
Here.
Bob, present. Frank Lefevre.
Presente.
Fred, Frank, present. And Serene Roberts.
Here.
Serene, present. From KPFT, Wesley Bethune. Wesley, I do not hear you. Nancy, Cyber, and I tell you myself, present. Deb Shasto.
Here.
Deb Shasto, present. And Bill Crozier.
Here.
Bill Crozier, present. And for WPFW, Jim Brown.
Here.
Jim Brown, present. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Eric Ramey, present. Nancy Sorden. Nancy Sorden, I do not hear you. Marion Douglas Ungaro. Marion, I do not hear you. Okay, what do we have here?
Present. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11. 11 out of 18.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. So that's a quorum, and
yes,
we can proceed. Before we go on, we need a timekeeper. Can I get a volunteer?
Eric did a good job last time.
Who did?
Eric did. Eric Ramey did a real good job last time. I remember.
Bob.
You know what? Somebody else is about to volunteer.
Bob, I'll volunteer to be timekeeper. Fred Blair.
Okay, thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay. All right. So now on to the approval of the agenda. The proposal that Bill circulated is pretty similar to the last time. It's to approve minutes for May 18th and June 4th, report from the National Election Supervisor, including Q&A for 40 minutes, and then under unfinished business, recommendations from the working group on problems with the 2015 elections and potential areas of improvement, 45 minutes, review action items, 5 minutes, set next meeting date for election committee, 5 minutes, and adjourn by 10:30 p.m. Eastern. I actually want to suggest moving the approval of the minutes down after the NES report, because I know her time is limited, and she told us that she's going to come on the call just about now, like 8:45. So is there any objection to that change, to move that down to it'll become, I guess, the new number 6? Okay, here.
4 go to 5, and 5 go to 4.
Right.
Okay. Nancy from KPFT.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy forgot to do the poll for the working group, so we did not meet, and I'm sort of glad I did because I was so busy with election. So we don't have a report from the working group.
Okay. Well, I would suggest we just leave that time at least open, not the 45 minutes, but at least some time open to raise kind of next steps about how to go about examining the problems from last year and coming up with solutions. So we can reframe it instead of a report from a working group, but just, you know, next steps on dealing with problems.
Okay,
so without objection, that 7A will be changed from recommendations from working group to next steps on identifying problems and solutions. Okay, all right, so was there no objection to moving the minutes down below NES? Okay, so that's moved. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, and that's approved. And now we just have to wait for Lynn Serpy, our National Election Supervisor, to get on the line. So maybe while we're waiting, we could look at our calendars and start thinking about dates. Obviously, we need her input, but we can look at KPFTX and see what might be some options.
Bob, can I mention one thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
One more thing. I forwarded the a little update from Lynn to all of you a little while ago, and just wanted to emphasize. She asked that we not forward it outside the committee. She was a little concerned that there's some names mentioned. I'm not sure it's anything real particularly sensitive, but she'd rather it not be forwarded because there's a lot of individual names mentioned in the report. But you know, if you want to ask her, you could do that when she comes on the line.
I wanted to ask something also, if I might. This is Eric. Did okay. he make the...
I'm sorry. Hold on one second, Eric. Who just joined?
Hi, I just joined. This is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome. This is Bob Lederer, and we have, I guess, 11 committee members here. And you're just
okay.
on queue, actually. We were just calling
835.
On you. Yeah, let me just call on... There was one person had a question, and that's Eric, and then we'll go to you, Lynn.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, actually, I was going to ask the question of her, but I'll go...
Why don't you hold it until the Q&A?
Sure.
Okay,
yes.
Great. All right, so Lynn, thank you again for coming on this call. And we just mentioned that your report has been circulated to committee members with the request not to publicly circulate it because of some names that are mentioned in there. So
thank you for that. I mean, I'm trying to be very careful about making sure I don't violate any staffing issues in particular, and even in the report when I had initially written it, I had had some names in there, and then I took a bunch out just because I didn't want to do something wrong because I was doing it quickly and informally, so I appreciate that.
Okay, and of course a reminder, this is a publicly streamed call.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so go right ahead.
So, I mean, I don't know how much time people had to review the report. I can certainly go over it.
Yeah, I think you should just because it was so late. So yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. So in addition to me going over the report, and I actually had a couple of items I had questions about that I was wanting to either understand what had been done in the past or what people thought would be a better way forward. So let me go over the report real quickly, and then I'll ask my questions, and then we can open up the floor to hopefully addressing my questions and then the opportunity for me to address everyone else's questions. So in the report, I started with lists because it's a very specific ask. In order to be able to verify both candidate eligibility as in terms of members in good standing, as well as the eligibility of the people who sign the petitions, whether it's members or staff, we need lists. And so we started asking for the list pretty much from day one, and we did so knowing that we would need updated lists because membership goes until June 30th, but we wanted to get a sense of what the scope of work was in terms of, like, cleaning the list and wanted to get an idea of, you know, how many numbers we had so that then we could, you know, properly plan, et cetera. So that process took a lot longer than I had anticipated, and so I'm very, very glad that we started pretty much since day one. At this point, in fact, I have not received lists from every single station. For those of you who don't know, there's often, you know, four different people involved. There's the membership director, or whatever their title might be, who primarily handles the list of people who've paid their $25 or more. There's often a different person who's keeping track of the volunteers who have volunteered 3 hours or more. So while those are both membership-related lists, they're often held and controlled and maintained by two different people. Then with the staff list, there's paid staff, and then there's unpaid staff. And again, it's often two different people who might be keeping the master copy of the list. So at any given station, you might have four different people who are involved when you ask for the lists. Of those four people, they may or may not have been around in the first couple of weeks of June. There were a number of people, including management, who took time off, either vacation time or conferences or conventions or whatever it might be. So all these things were a factor in why we didn't necessarily always get the list when we requested. And then we also had additional issues where WPFW in particular, they had a server down for several days, things like that. So we're getting closer and closer to having all these lists, and then everyone knows that pretty much as of Friday morning, July 1st, they need to give us all an updated version. And so I'm confident that on Friday we should receive almost all of the lists. And then at that point, the the LES can at least begin the candidate verification process. And if the names of the candidates and the signers are on those lists, then we're in good shape. And if they're not, then there just might be some additional work that's needed. So it's hard to say right now exactly how long that process will take. I'm hoping that we can complete it in a timely fashion. The next thing I talked about was promotion. Are people hearing feedback? Am I clear?
Yes. Yes, it's been there.
Okay. I'm hearing my own echo, so that's why I wondered. Okay. So for promotion, I mean, the biggest challenge of promotion is just we don't control a lot of the systems and process. Like, for example, we don't control the station website. We don't have the ability to post on the station website. Unless it was given to us, we can't post, the LES can't post on Facebook or Twitter directly. It really depends on the station. In some places, they did provide access. So we've continued to send emails to members, to the candidates who've registered, and to staff, you know, using the lists that were made available, you know, so see the previous section, or most stations have their own email distribution system for staff or for members. The trick there is that sometimes that person who controls that list and therefore is or is not able to send out that email may or may not be in town working or accessible when we want the emails to go out. But in general, you know, every week we were sending out, you know, one or two emails a week and doing 2, 3, 4 Facebook, Twitter posts a week. There was mention on all the station websites. Some stations made their mention a little more prominently. They've changed their graphics, they added secondary graphics, whatever it might be, as the process proceeded. You know, on the elections site itself, elections.pacifica.org, you know, I continued to try to update the pages. There was about 42 pages of the site that had been built by L. Joy Williams last year. You know, for the start of the June 1st, I had gone through all of those pages to update it for 2016 and make modifications where I could. And then as we got additional content, I continued to do so. So as the LES were able to schedule their various meet and greets, I would add that onto the relevant page of that site, and then I would often update it with, you know, remaining meet and greets as the dates had passed to try to stay timely. The LES, in addition to Facebook and Twitter and email and our website content and asking for website content to be posted, they, of course, recorded carts. They recorded 60-second carts as well as 30-second carts. They made multiple requests and talked to different people, and I made multiple requests trying to see if we could get on-air hosts to have the candidates on. We had limited success with that. I had actually hoped that some of the people more involved with the studios, you know, whether it's the LSB or the various committees, might have been more helpful in helping us get on air, because the relationship that
I'm sorry,
we're losing
signal,
you.
Your signal is fading.
We did have
out. Lynn.
Yes.
Your signal just faded out for the last.
Oh, okay.
Minute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Could you go back about a minute or maybe
so
30 seconds?
I was talking about on air, about trying to get on air. So when I was talking about trying to have the LES on different hosts on their shows, is that where you want me to go back to?
That sounds good.
Okay, so yeah, so what I was saying is that, you know, we had limited success with that. So David Levine at WPFW was on a show at WPFW. I was asked to be on a show at WPFW. Alma Vizcarra was on two shows at KPFT. I think Kiani was asked to provide some content for a show at WBAI. Over at KPFA, rather than having their LES on the show, it seemed as though the program director was just encouraging the on-air host to talk about the election, and the local election supervisor confirmed that, you know, he heard that happen. You know, that was a place where it certainly would have been helpful, and I know that I made the asks in certain emails. If people who have an ongoing relationship with the studio, like the local station board members or election committee members or people who've been involved, you know, had helped us. Because one of the challenges of hiring short-time, you know, short-term, part-time contract staff to administer the election is that in many cases we don't have those type of personal connections and we have limited time to develop them. So we made a lot of asks, and, you know, sometimes they were successful and sometimes they weren't. So we asked and we asked, and that's what it is. The LES also sent out press advisories to local papers, mostly just saying, hey, the nomination is happening. You know, we thought places like Changelings in LA or maybe like the East Bay Express, you know, papers like that might be willing to at least sort of mention that the nomination period was open in the hope that there might be some crossover in, you know, readership and listenership. And so in some cases that was picked up and in others it wasn't. You know, as far as the carts go, you know, the LES reported that they all heard their carts, and we've been trying to request the actual, like, record of when the carts were aired and not aired, and in some cases that seems fairly easy to supply to us, in other cases not so easy. The guidelines we used were the same as last year's. Some stations decided to do more and to either air an increased rotation, which we requested of them. We asked that they see those guidelines as minimum guidelines. And so some stations did step it up and some stations recorded additional carts. So I do know that several candidates, you know, either when asked or volunteered that the way they heard about the election was through the carts on air. That's primarily the new candidates who never run before. You know, I mentioned something on my very first call, an idea about doing robocalls, and so that was something I sent additional information to Jerry Paris at WPFW and Berthold Reimers at WBAI. And the reason for those two stations was that for a while they had very limited number of candidates who were registered, and I thought that they might want to increase their promotion, and that a robocall at 6 cents per completed call is certainly significantly cheaper than a direct mail, and that in most cases, and again this is very difficult not having access to the list, but in most cases most stations have significantly more phone numbers than they have email addresses, primarily because I think people are calling in with their pledges. So for example, there were 40% more phone numbers in the WPFW list that I was able to get from Otis, not from the station itself. And so if they had decided to go that route, you know, they might have had a chance to reach, you know, 5,000 people versus the 3,000 or so who are getting emails. And according to the open click rate in MailChimp, maybe, you know, 20% of people are actually opening their emails. So, so anyway, I had that discussion with Jerry. He seemed interested. He, you know, didn't want to make a unilateral decision. He made it very clear he wanted to discuss it with his staff. And I believe he did so. Some of his staff were a little more skeptical than others, wanted to try to keep doing things through social media. But as I mentioned, you know, we only have a certain number of email addresses, and then you only have a certain percentage of people who are on Twitter, on Facebook, and how often are they checking it, etc. Ultimately, we didn't do the robocalls at WPFW. I sent draft scripts to them, and I spent an hour or so doing a walkthrough with the vendor to make sure that I would be able to train them on the system, but those robocalls never happened. I sent the same information to Berthold at WBAI last week. I contacted Berthold a number of times last week by phone and by email and never heard back on this issue and on another issue. I since learned that WBAI, also Andrea, was also out on bereavement leave, that that I believe that it might have been their web person or someone very involved with the station had passed away unexpectedly with a heart attack. They also had a lot of problems with their phone systems. So WBAI was having some, you know, station level challenges that meant that I didn't get to hear back from Berthold last week. Kiani had gone into the studio several times and tried to hear to speak with him. I know she was able to speak with him this Monday, and he was able to send out the mass email numbers that we requested, as Andrea did last week before she went out of bereavement. So the promotion is, you know, happening at all those different levels, and so in many of the studios, many of the stations, it seems to have been quite successful. We have, I think I listed in the report, you know, quite a few listener candidates at KPFT, KPFA, KPFK. We have, we're closing in between 15 and 20 listener candidates at WPFW, and these are just the people who've registered online. We do expect there'll be some people who show up on the day as well. WBAI has the least number of candidates registered right now. I think they have about 9. although they do have, I think, four staff. So the next item on the report.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you? Because there's a lot of background noise. So can I ask every other person except Lynn, please mute your phone? I don't know whose line the noise is from, but if everyone does it, then
I even took myself off speakerphone to make it easier. Okay.
Pound one.
You sound much better now, actually.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay.
And let me also ask Fred where we're at on time. This is a 40-minute item.
Yeah.
How much time has elapsed, Fred?
13 minutes, according to my clock.
Oh,
okay. I'm trying to do 15.
Very good.
Yeah.
No. I'm not rushing you. I'm just.
Oh yeah. No. I'm rushing.
Bill, there's 26 minutes left.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll try to. So yeah, I mean, this is where. So the fair campaign provisions and the complaint process. I talked about it primarily. You know, since June 1st, there has been an active link, a report a campaign violation page on the website. You know, if we get sent an email, we say, hey, everyone, you know, there is a formal complaint process. Please follow it. And so far, regarding the fair campaign provisions, no one has actually followed up with an official complaint using that online process. And part of the reason we request that is that sometimes people send us very long emails, 2, 3, 4, 9 paragraphs, and they're talking about a whole lot of stuff, and it's not always clear exactly what their complaint is. And so obviously the more tightly focused someone can be, and so the online page form will say things like, you know, what is the date of the alleged violation? What is the provision that was violated? You know, who was harmed? You know, there's very specific things. That way we know exactly what they're asking us to investigate, because sometimes it's a little difficult. So we're just strongly encouraging people, if you have a complaint, you go to the report a campaign violation page. There's additional procedures about how the LES and NES will handle the complaint. They are modified based on something that Bob had forwarded to me a couple weeks back. And then Otis helped me improve the online complaint form so that you can have like a pull-down menu, so it goes to not just me but the LES at your station. I wasn't techie enough to do that on my own, so I was, you know, it was set up so I'd get copies and then I'd have to forward it to the LES. But this is much better, so that then there's no delay. Then there are times when there might be complaints that have nothing to do with the fair campaign provisions. So I just put in a section about how people can send me an email saying, you know, please investigate, and then again taking it from there. So my report sort of talked about some of the complaints, again, not official ones, that were lodged. It's in the report. I don't know that I need to necessarily go over that because of our time constraints. I mentioned in the next section about the LES themselves. You know, they are paid twice a month, and so they all started in the beginning of June, so they've all received at least one, or at least submitted an invoice, and I have not yet heard any issues around lack of payment, so I'm assuming that they've all been paid accordingly. Reminder, I have not yet received my first check, and I invoice monthly. So the next section in here is about the LES performance and candidate lists. So I already sort of addressed a little bit about where we are with the candidate lists. With the LES performance, my main issue there was, you know, concern that a lot of people are asking the LES to do things or emailing about things that aren't actually their job, and then they don't seem to truly understand what the role of the LES is. And obviously that's not an issue that we can address on this call, but certainly the people on this call can make sure that they understand the role of the LES, and so I did include in the report the bylaw about it, and if people want, I can certainly forward the job descriptions. I base them on previous job descriptions and things like that. I just mention it because I do feel like the LES are consistently being asked about things that are not, in fact, their job. The second is I also feel like sometimes there's a little bit of unreasonable expectation if an email is sent on a Friday afternoon and they don't hear back, and then a second email is sent on a Saturday morning because they didn't hear back. It's, you know, there has to be a recognition of, one, people are allowed to sleep, and two, we are part-time. And the only reason I just flag that is that I want to keep the LES happy and leading all, and, you know, fairly satisfied, maybe not happy, but not completely stressed out. Looking at past reports from both NES and LES, this burnout factor is something that was raised again and again and again in all the reports I've read in the past. And so I would rather, you know, not have to deal with that type of situation. So I am being fairly aggressive about saying to people, you know, please recognize people are part-time. Please recognize what their job is and isn't. And that sort of jumps me ahead to, you know, an item at the bottom of the report, which is just, you know, sometimes I think there might be a bit of a culture in organizations of how people interact and how they talk to each other and the type of language that's used. And I've been a bit surprised, and the LES have been a bit surprised, sometimes at the level of negativity. There was in particular an email sent to one of the LES that I thought was incredibly inappropriate and really, as I mentioned in the report, that I'd actually really like to take a look into some research about cyberbullying, because I think I want to be very aggressive and have a, you know, zero tolerance for inappropriate behavior. And, you know, obviously I can't change the rules of the entire and culture of the entire organization, but I really want us to, you know, abide by not just the letter of the fair campaign provisions, but what I can tell the intent as much as we can. So I just flag that. It's nothing more than sort of letting people know that I am concerned and I don't want to see. What I'm hoping is that if you see this type of rhetoric, that you step up. And so in the circumstance, and I don't want to name names because we are on a public call, in a circumstance where someone sent some really negative comments, I was very pleased to see that several other people chimed in much more positively, and I think that was a good way to handle it. So I guess my encouragement would just be, if you see personal attacks on anyone, not just the LES, but those are the people that, you know, I work with. But if you see personal attacks on anyone, please do your best to diffuse and neutralize the situation. That would be a big request of mine. So the last item was just the LSD terms. You know, 120 people. It's been a lot of work. Janet Coburn, the secretary, has sent me repeated updates every week. I've sent them to other people, asking them to review, you know, trying to figure out the exact terms, when people are appointed, when they have an extended term, when their term ends. And it has been an amazing jigsaw that was far more complicated than I could have ever have imagined. I think we're very close to having a comprehensive list, and so I was hoping to send out tomorrow another email to the LSC members of the stations, just asking them to confirm the accuracy of what is right now the most up-to-date information we have available. If it seems as though there is that degree of accuracy that I'd like to see, then I'd be much more open to posting it and making it available online, which I think would be helpful, but I've been reluctant to do without knowing for sure whether the information was accurate, because, of course, we don't want to disseminate false information or inaccurate information. Okay, so that's my report. I'm going to ask my questions, and then I'm sorry I took so long. So my questions were pretty straightforward. It had to do with the on-air forums. I mostly wanted suggest feedback about the best time to have the forums. And in particular, you know, the ballots are supposed to go out on August 15th. And there are some people who like to vote right away. So my question was, do I hold the on-air forums before the August 15th mail-out and then ask for the stations to re-air them? You know, the stations I spoke to had all mentioned that they had never re-aired their on-air forums. But it seemed to me that you wanted to have something before people got their ballots for those people who like to mail them back or vote online right away. But then it's a six-week process that people can have their ballots. And if you have that, you know, your on-air forums between the August 1st to August 15th, for example, to not have anything after August 15th also seemed weird. So I just kind of wanted to get some suggestions about that. I guess number one is, has it been practice at your station to air them repeatedly? And then what people thought about the timing. And then the follow-up question had to do with the in-person forums. I've heard really mixed reviews about having them, not having them, whether they're worthwhile or not. And so I just kind of wanted to get a sense from people. So I'm not sure the best way to facilitate my question. So Bob or Bill, who's facilitating the meeting, I'm not sure. That one's up to you. But those are really my question around the on-air forums and the in-person forums. the repetition of the honor forms, and then the timing.
Okay, thanks very much, Lynn. So let me again check with Fred. How many minutes are left of the 40?
1 second.
Oh, we're at 40 minutes.
No. You've got 16 minutes left.
Oh, thanks. Okay. All right. So the floor is open to Q&A, but I would suggest that that to keep it kind of in a logical order, that we hold off on answering Lynn's questions until people have finished their questions of her about her report, and then we can go to her questions to us, just so it's kind of, sort of a natural order. All right, so the floor is open to questions for Lynn.
Frank Lefebvre on the stack, please.
Okay. Anyone else for starters? All right, we'll start with Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, first of all, I want to say I'm impressed by the vigor with which and the thoroughness with which you've tackled this job. It's in all the elections that I've seen since my involvement with Pacifica, it's outstanding. It's unprecedented. I foresee a possible log jam and problem Thursday evening. There are going to be people converging.
Yeah.
From all over, from New Jersey and the different boroughs and so on. And I'm wondering, is there any possibility that the LES could be available, if not at the station upstairs, downstairs at the Commons, so that the people who have stuff already completed to hand in could get it in ahead of time, ahead of the rest?
So you're referring to WBAI, correct, Frank?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned. Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Kiani is actually scheduled to be there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. She went a little overboard compared
to some
of
the... I'm talking about Wednesday.
Oh, on Wednesday. Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't think I can commit to that because I don't even know if she's available.
What I would say is if she's willing to go from 9 to 9 on Thursday, how about doing just half of that, let's say from 12 to 9 on Thursday and from 9 and putting the other 3 hours in on Wednesday?
Right. So the challenge is really a logistical one. One is that at 39:15 tonight, I know she's working another job tomorrow. And then also it's the promotion of it. So what I want to mention to you is something that you may not realize, which is that people have the opportunity to scan and email back their information. I modeled the candidate packet off the candidate packet from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I
appreciate that,
Can you let her finish her answer?
Yeah.
Right. So. You know, part of the reason my impression was because people can't always get there on the 30th, and so there needs to be a way that they can send in their information. So if people aren't able to come in person, they can scan and email their information. And some people have already done that. I mean, we had some staff members who went out on vacation. Because the date is so close to the 4th of July holiday weekend, we had a number of people contact us saying that they were going to be out of town. And so the only reason I mention is that people do have the option of turning in their information by scanning and emailing it. So they effectively can do that on Wednesday. They don't need to come in the studio and physically turn it in.
Well, the point that I was trying to make was that for some of us, this scanning procedure is simple. For some of us, for others, it's just out of the question, just beyond us.
Sure, and I totally appreciate that. That's why we offer both, which is the opportunity to scan and the opportunity to come in studio. I mean, I do hear what you're saying. It's unfortunate that it's, 9:15 p.m. on Tuesday. I cannot commit Kiani to being in the studio tomorrow, nor do I feel that we have time to sufficiently promote the fact that she would change her hours on Friday. So what I'm hoping is that people who are able to scan can scan, and that people who maybe are concerned about a logjam, if they're able maybe to come a little bit earlier on Thursday, maybe they can avoid that logjam. Right now, the number of candidates at WBAI is significantly less than, the 40 or so or 50 or whatever it is at KPFK. So I'm actually hoping that we're going to receive a flood of of applications on Thursday, just because right now I'm a little nervous about that.
Okay, let me see who else has questions. Other committee members?
Nancy,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, who was that?
And Bill.
Okay, and Eric, did you have a question, Eric?
It's not directly related to her report. I was wondering if that's appropriate. But go ahead, I'll wait.
Okay, so Nancy and then Bill. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, on the promotional cards for the election, whose voice should we be hearing? I assume it's the LES, but that at least one state, the general manager.
Right. So who just asked the question and where are you from? I'm sorry.
I'm Nancy Sabra-Nartoni. I'm from KPFT in Houston.
Right.
So
okay.
I really don't think it's appropriate for the general manager's voice to be doing these promotional cards, but is that right with you?
Right. So so in general, at all the stations, all the LES were asked to record their own cards, and so they did so. Chance McKee, the LES for KPFK, is not a fluent bilingual Spanish speaker. So Alma Vascara from KPFT recorded the Spanish cart for KPFK. You know, I was told, and according to what I could read, that other people could record carts. And so with the general manager at KPFT wanted to be very proactive because of his concern that they wouldn't have enough candidates, not just to field a contested election, but to also then have the sort of runner-up provisions in case of future appointments. So he did want to be very proactive, and, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I'm curious to know why you think it's inappropriate for a general manager to record a cart. I'm just kind of curious on that one.
So in the past few months, the manager has been using the microphone to ask listeners to come and talk to the LSB, the local station board, during public comment, and he's been telling the listeners that he might lose his job or they may vote to get rid of him. So he's been promoting listeners to come and talk to the LSB. And
Ooh, what happened? Hello?
Fred,
I have no idea. I'm broadcasting live.
All right, can everyone please mute your phone except the person speaking?
I can't mute my phone. I'm on a home phone.
Downtown 1. Downtown 1.
Sounds like somebody just called. Okay, I'm going to hang up and call back. You can tell me if I'm if it disappears when I hang up.
Okay, thanks. Well, that didn't help.
It might be Nancy, because she was talking when it happened, and now she's not talking. But your phone's...
Well, I'm using my phone.
I'm still here.
Anyway, I think that...
Who's ever speaking now? I can't hear you.
I can't hear
wrong.
Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy, your signal's not coming through. Why don't you hang up and try calling in again?
Okay.
Thanks. Well, that didn't solve the hum.
No.
Has everyone muted? If anyone hasn't, please do so now.
Sounds like I have both my phone. Did that buzz disappear when I hung up?
No, unfortunately.
No,
can I suggest, would anyone object if we just all hang up and call back in again? Maybe maybe we'll get a better line.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right away, let's resume. Okay. Bye.